little bit and try to be sensitive to other plans that you might have, but certainly want to hear from God today. From Matthew chapter 16, verse number 25. Matthew 16 and verse number 25. Jesus Christ is speaking, and he says, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." And so I would like to preach for just a little bit from this question: what are you dying for? What are you dying for? Let's ask the Lord to speak to us today. Lord Jesus, right now, we need your spirit to flow mightily. We need the power of your presence and the word of God to impact lives today. In Jesus' name, we honor you, Lord, for what we feel already. We honor you, Lord, for what you have done already. We trust you, Lord, for a great victory in the lives of people today. In the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. God bless you. You may be seated. As we remember servicemen and servicewomen who have had the commitment and courage, some to pay the ultimate price for the freedoms that we enjoy, it helps us to remember that there are some things that are worth dying for. Just a few quotes from history that no doubt you will recognize, if not the exact quote, but certainly the personality and the passion behind the words of Patrick Henry, for instance. He said, "Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death." Some things are worth dying for. One president, John F. Kennedy, said, "Let every nation know, whether it wishes us well or ill, that we shall pay any price and bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe, to assure the survival and success of liberty." Because some things are worth dying for. One more quote from years gone by. President Ronald Reagan said, "You and I have a rendezvous with destiny. We will preserve for our children the last best hope of man on earth, or we will sentence them to take the first step into 1,000 years of darkness. If we fail, at least let our children and our children's children say of us, 'We justified our brief moment here. We did all that could be done.'" I believe that's the characteristic of those men and women that stood a little while ago, and so many others that even stand right now on the front lines of battles for freedom and the fight against terrorism. There are some that have already made the decision: I will pay the ultimate price for a freedom that is worth dying for. And we have prayed for those today that inspire us. And we have prayed for those that know the loss, but it gives all of us a fresh opportunity to analyze our own lives and say, "God, I want to make sure that my living is not in vain. I want to live for something that is worth dying for." There's so many stories of heroes, and I'll just mention one very briefly, but it brings about a very important point for us to consider today. There were two men in World War I that enlisted together and trained together, and they both went off to war together. During the war on the battlefield, one of those men was horribly wounded, close to the point of death. Meanwhile, his friend from the foxhole was ready to leap out into harm's way to save, or at least try to rescue, his buddy. The sergeant called out to him, and he said, said, please don't jump into the line of fire. It's no use. Your friend is going to die, and we don't want you to die as well. And so when the sergeant looked the other way, sure enough, that friend lunged out of that foxhole, and he crawled over to where his buddy lay dying. Obviously, he got some wounds himself. He made it back, carrying that friend back to safety. Although it was too late, he had passed away in his arms. The sergeant cried out, "What a waste! Now your friend is dead and you are wounded yourself. I told you he was going to die." And the friend said, "No, Sarge, it wasn't a waste. Because while he was dying in my arms, he said, I knew you would come for me, Jim. I knew you would come." I make that point to make this point. There are some things that are worth dying for regardless of everybody else's opinion. There are some things that you ought to be willing to lay your life down on the line for regardless of what conventional wisdom might say about it. And one of those things springs out at us from the words of Jesus Christ when he says, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." I'm reaching for somebody here today that somewhere in your past you made a commitment to Jesus Christ and you said, "Jesus, I'll serve you no matter what. I'll do whatever it takes." But somewhere along the line you begin to hear voices of other people saying, "It don't take all of that," or "It's not worth all of that. Why would you be so foolish to give your life for Christianity?" And yet the reality is this: ultimately, Christianity demands death. Jesus gave his life for me, and sooner or later, we must give our life for him. And so he says to us through his word, if you try to save your life, you will lose it. If you try to hold on to your life, you will lose it. But if you would lose your life for the sake of Jesus Christ, you will find everything that God has for you. Oh, would you take a moment now and just praise the Lord for that decision that perhaps has been made in your life, that decision that perhaps is what you cling to today. Looking back at the context in Matthew 16, verse 24, then Jesus said, "If any man will come after me," anybody, not just apostles, not just disciples, not just preachers, not just pulpit personalities, but if anybody is going to follow me, let him take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? It is right and honorable that we would applaud men and women that would pay the ultimate price to defend freedom, or they would pay the ultimate price to fight for a country. Let us be honest today. It takes courage to die for your country, but it also takes courage to die for Jesus Christ. And I say today, we ought to applaud every single believer that somewhere in your past, you made up your mind, "I have decided to follow Jesus. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus." Oh, let's clap our hands together. Thank the Lord together. In trying to analyze patriotism, one great statesman made this quote. He said, "I venture to suggest that patriotism is not a short and frenzied outburst of emotion, but the tranquil and steady dedication of a lifetime." Heroism, I guess, begins when someone is enlisted and they sign their life away and they link up with other brothers and sisters to defend our nation. Yes, there is heroism in that. But you know what? It takes a whole lot more than signing up or getting started. There's got to be the daily commitment, whatever it takes. Put me on the front lines. If my life is at risk at any moment, I have made my decision. And so it is in living for Jesus Christ. It is not just a one-time decision. It is taking up your cross daily. It is losing your life daily and following Jesus. And so wherever you are in that journey, you may point to someone and say, well, I could never be like her. I could never be like him. But if every day you're putting one foot in front of the other, and you're saying, no matter what, I will obey Jesus. No matter what, I'll take up my cross. There may be a day when you get slammed to the ground and you fall into failure, but get right back up again and say, I have decided to follow Jesus. Oh, let's clap our hands and shout unto God. Hallelujah. Doing just a simple search to find this passage in scripture, I had recognized it and certainly have even preached from it and really even meditated on it in a personal way. But I found an example of the words of Jesus in a particular passage that was a little bit peculiar. I want to read it to you now. The words are the same, but the context is significantly different. Matthew 10 and verse 37. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not up his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. When I was reading that, it occurred to me that at least when you're in the season of life that I am in, so much of life becomes consumed with your family, and to the degree that not only do you feel like you would die for your kids or for your marriage, but sometimes you feel like it's killing you. You don't want to laugh, but you know it's true. And certainly we stand today and honor God because of the institution of family. But I think it's important to note that somewhere on the journey, some of us leave the battlefield and we get so consumed with ourselves or our own loved ones that becomes the length of our spirituality, being good for our spouse and being good for our kids, or certainly trying to be good for our parents. All of that has its place. But don't mistake that for taking up your cross and following Jesus. Somewhere you've got to make the decision. Following Jesus is more important than my job, and more important than my money, more important than my house, and more important than my family. Following Jesus is worth dying for. Praise God. That's heavy duty, amen. But if we're going to celebrate those that would pay the ultimate price for freedom, let's honor those around here. And there are many that when you decided to follow Jesus, your family turned their back on you. We've got one young man that sings in his choir, in our choir, that when he decided to live for Jesus, his parents kicked him out of the house. Maybe you haven't had to make that decision, but somewhere in your life, you'll have to draw a line in the sand. Oh, be the best husband or wife you can be the best parent or child you can be, but please make sure you take up your cross and say, though none go with me, I will follow Jesus. It's worth living for Jesus, and it's worth dying for Jesus. Amen. In fact, one of the reasons why I suggest that Jesus is worth dying for is because he thought you were worth dying for. He thought I was worth dying for. John 15 says this, greater love hath no man than this, than that a man would lay down his life for his friends. We were worth dying for. Shouldn't he be worth dying for? Romans 5, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Some of you have been so faithful and you have served the Lord for so many years, but not everybody that knows about the cross serves the Lord. Not everybody that even believes in Jesus takes up their cross and follows him. But isn't it awesome to know that when Jesus died for me, it was with no promise that I would live for him. When Jesus died for us, there was no guarantee that we would give our lives to his cause. But you know what? He loved us so much that he died for us anyway. One song says it this way, you thought I was worth saving, so you came and you changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for, so you sacrificed your life so I could be free, so I could be whole, so I could tell everybody I know. Hey, he's a healer, amen. He's a helper, amen. He's a provider, amen. He's a blesser, amen. He's a father, amen. He's a friend, amen. But I like the old timers. They would say, if he never blesses me again, I have decided to follow Jesus. If he never heals me again, I'm going to take up my cross and follow Jesus. Because if you thought I was worth dying for, then I think you are worth dying for. So here it is, Memorial Day weekend, and we remember soldiers, and we remember freedom, but we remember Jesus. And we renew our commitment. Jesus, I will lose my life in you. I will lose my life for you. I believe that you are worth dying for. Amen. If you're here today, you've never repented of your sins, even if it kills you, you need to repent today because he's worth dying for. If you're here today and you have never been baptized by immersion in Jesus' name, you need to be baptized today because he's worth dying for. If it kills you, you need to be baptized in Jesus' name. If you have never been filled with the Spirit of God, let the Holy Ghost take over your life. Today is your day, even if it kills you. You say, well, when I really pray that way, it seems so strange, and I've had people make fun of the Holy Ghost. Forget about the opinions of other people. Just remember Calvary and say, Jesus, if you died for me, even if it kills me, I want your Spirit in my life. Praise God. You start to live for God according to this old-fashioned Bible, it will impact the way you live and the impact the way you look. It'll impact places you go, places you don't go, things you do and things you don't do. Don't be afraid of that. In fact, just say, if it kills me, I'm going to embrace separation. If it kills me, I'm going to live holy. If it kills me, I'm going to obey the Bible because he thought I was worth dying for. I believe he's worth dying for. Also, if that's how you feel, would you clap your hands and lift your voice out? Hallelujah! Hallelujah! And so, it begs the question of this message, what are you dying for. Because some things we're dying for are going to end up killing us. We're dying for the kind of prestige that the world says, there's somebody successful. Nothing wrong with being successful, but if you're dying on that cross, it's going to kill you. It's great to have friends, but some people have to be the life of the party. You have to be so popular that it satisfies some weakness in your self-image, maybe because you were not loved the way you should have been loved. The point is this, if that's the cross that you're carrying today, it's going to kill you. Sooner or later, you got to recognize even the pleasures of this world that the Bible labels as sin. Yes, there is pleasure for a season, and we get craving all of the lust of the flesh, and all of the pride of life, and all of the lust of the eyes, and we're dying for perhaps a high, or we're dying perhaps for a relationship, or we're dying perhaps for a certain status or even a certain income, and some of the things that we're dying for are going to end up killing us. And so Jesus tries to protect us by simply saying these words: whoever will save his life shall lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, he shall save it. Yes, sin kills, but there's a lot of life that will kill you too. If anything in this life matters more to me than Jesus, it will destroy me. It will kill me. And so sooner or later, I've got to draw the line in the sand and say, I am going to follow Jesus more than anything else in this world. Otherwise, it will kill me. And serving Jesus might kill me too, but it's worth dying for. It's worth dying for. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 15. Speaking of Jesus Christ, it says, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Are we living for Jesus enough that we could be dying for Jesus? Or is this just what we do on Sunday? Is this just part of our pastime, but it's really not our passion? If we are not willing to die for him by living for him, then we are missing out on the life he has for us. And somewhere, even in this sanctuary today, the Lord would love to take somebody, and we're all on different parts of our journey, but he would just like to take us a little bit further along in the plan he has for us. If you've never repented of your sins and you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, you've never been filled with the Holy Ghost, well, just take one more step towards giving him your life. You may not be able to do what other people may do. That's not even the point. But the point is, wherever I am in my walk with God, I want to surrender just a little bit more of my life to him. Think about it this way. If you've been serving the Lord for a long time, and you've been faithful and growing in your faith, then your commitment should be at a different level than perhaps someone that has missed a lot of church, or maybe they've been hurt and they haven't been living for God the way they know they need to. For them, it may be as simple as saying, God, I'm dying to feel your presence. I'm dying to feel your love. I'm dying to feel your power. If that's you, just take the next step in giving your life to the Lord. But if you're here and you've been serving faithfully, let there be a step for you and I to take that says, Jesus, here's my life. If there's any part of me that needs to belong to you, I'm willing to die for you. Can you say amen? One songwriter said it this way: live for Jesus all your days. It's the only life that pays when you recall you have but one life. The reality is this: if what you are living for is not worth dying for, then you are wasting your life. So you get drunk, you get high. So you make your own decisions, you're your own person. Is that worth dying for? So your weekends are free, you don't have to worry about church, you're your own boss. Is that worth dying for? Because if we are living for things that are not worth dying for, we are wasting away. Only one life. So soon it will pass. Only what's done for Christ, for Christ, for Christ will last. Acts 20 and verse 24. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I may finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. What I'm saying here today is as we honor servicemen and servicewomen that gave their life for a mission, what's your mission? What's your life for? Why are you blessed with salvation? Isn't there a purpose in all of this? And so you can say today, oh Jesus, I want to lose my life in you. I want to lose my life in you. As the musicians come, I wonder if you could just raise your hands right where you are and wherever you are in your journey. For some, you're probably so far advanced compared to me and other people here that God's going to have to speak to you on your level. But others, you may feel like you've just wandered in here and you can't really point to too much success right now in your walk with God. But God can speak to you too right where you are and say, I have a purpose for your life. I have a plan for your life. I have a destiny for your life. I just need you to lose your life in me. I just need you to lose your life for my sake. Can you say in Jesus' name? Those New Testament believers were known as those that had hazarded their lives for the name of Jesus. There's people in this room. God could call us to that kind of commitment. Help me, Lord, to say yes. You are worth dying for. Can you say in Jesus' name? So I close with this appeal. Is there an Abraham in the sanctuary today? Abraham that God said, I want you to follow me, but I'm not going to tell you where you're going. I just have a plan for you. I have a destiny for you. Is there an Abraham that in just a few moments you would come to the altar and say, I don't know where this is going to end up taking me, but I want my destiny to be in Jesus and not just in my own plans, not just in my own abilities, not just in my own dreams. I want to go wherever you want me to go, Jesus, even if I don't know where that is. Come on, Abraham. Come on, Abraham. Is there a David here today? You remember David? Is there not a cause? He was willing to pay the ultimate price for victory, not just on the battlefield with Goliath, but remember when he was in the presence of the Lord and he started dancing before the Lord, and sure enough, even his own wife mocked him. But he wanted victory in the presence of God, victory in the purpose of God. Even if it kills me, even if it kills my family, I'm going to give God everything. Even his own brothers made fun of him, believing God could use him. But David, sometimes you got to step away from the opinions of other people. And you've got to say, God, my life was meant for more than this. Is there not a cause? Is there an Esther here? Esther? Esther? Esther, there's a people, a nation that's going to be destroyed. So I'm going to pray and I'm going to fast. And if it kills me, if I perish, I perish. But I'm going to the king to intercede for a nation. Those are not just Bible stories. Those are ordinary people that God picked out of the crowd because they were willing to say, I will die for you. I will live for you to the degree that I would give my life for you. And I would wish that if we accomplish anything in this message, that you would stop looking at the heroes in the Bible or heroes of Christianity as though they're so far out there that you could never be like them. Perhaps I could just say, Lord, whatever you want me to be, whatever you want me to be. Because that's the call of God that's here today. God is reaching for an Abraham. God is reaching for a David. God is reaching for an Esther. God is reaching for those three Hebrew boys that would say, if everybody bows to peer pressure, if everybody bows to popular opinion, if everybody bows to the idols of this world, I will stand for the one true God. Where are you, Shadrach? Where are you, Meshach? Where are you, Abednego? That you could live for God as though you'd be willing to die for him. Boy, that'd take your Christianity out of boredom. That'd take your Christianity out of all that dustiness where you got to kind of swipe your Bible off just to find it to bring it on Sunday. If you could realize that God has a destiny for you that's even greater than a good job, even greater than a great family, even greater than some good friends. Jesus, I want what you have for me. What about Daniel? What about Daniel? If you pray, Daniel, we're gonna kill you. If it kills me, I'm gonna pray. If it kills me, I'm gonna talk to the Lord in the morning. I'm going to talk to the Lord in the afternoon. I'm going to talk to the Lord in the evening. No, Daniel, don't worry. Just do it on Wednesday and Sunday. No, you don't understand. I'm dying for a relationship with God. I'm dying for intimacy with the Lord. I'm dying to know him. I'm dying for revelations about what he's doing. I'm dying for an intimacy with him that changes me forever. And if it kills me, I'm going to have a prayer life. Can you say in Jesus' name? So what is the practical application here today? How do you make choices to live as though you would be willing to die? Well, one verse says it this way, Colossians 3, set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. In a crowd this size, God can speak to each one of us right now. And he can say, here's the area of your life that I want you to focus on me and focus on heaven and not focus on this world. That's how powerful God is. That's how real God is. Would you bow your heads with me right now? And many of you can pray this prayer in your own words. Jesus, I've heard your voice today where you said that if I save my life, if I live as though it's my life, I will lose everything. But if I lose my life for your sake, I will find everything that I've been looking for. And Jesus, I've got to make that more than just Bible talk right now. I've got to take the next step in giving my life to you. And Jesus, I cannot predict for everybody in this sanctuary what that next step needs to be. God, there's some that have lived for you for so long. Only you can show them how to set their affections on things above, not on the things of the earth. There are others, Lord, that they've stumbled in here and they feel so much regret for the distance they feel from you, that it's hard for me to know how to let them know that you love them so much, that you have a destiny for them, a purpose for them. Jesus, reveal to each of us how to set our affections on you. Reveal to each of us how to give our life for you. In Jesus' name, would you raise your hands and in the words of this song, right where you're seated, would you just try to give all of that to the Lord right now? Just try to give all of that to the Lord right now. God, I don't know in this season of my life, I don't know what it looks like to give my life to you. I've done it so many times before, but I want to do it all over again. I want to make sure my life belongs to you. Lord Jesus, in this season of my life, whatever it's going to take for me to live for you like I'd be willing to die for you, I want to give that to you right now, Jesus. Jesus. God, there's children and teenagers here that it's hard for them to grasp, but you have a plan for them. But as they give their life to you in this simple song, do it, God, right now. Do it, God, right now. Do it, God, right now. Begin to speak to them. Begin to lead them. Begin to show them. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Move on somebody to repent today, Lord. Move on somebody to be willing to be baptized today, Lord. Move on somebody to seek to be filled with your Spirit today. I want to live for you, Lord, like I'm willing to die for you, Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Blessed Savior, I surrender.
In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. I wonder if you would stand with me. And I know for some you'll probably need to slip out because of the time. I understand that. But there are others that perhaps you could join us around this altar for one final prayer. I want to read a passage of Scripture that it seems so unique in the way that it's phrased. Because as we have talked about heroes and soldiers and those that have paid the ultimate price, the Scripture also has heroes that it speaks of. Hebrews 11 and verse 13, speaking of heroes of the faith, it says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." I wonder if we could end this service by making a fresh commitment. Jesus, nothing that I live for on this planet is going to distract me from getting ready for heaven. Nothing that consumes me, my time, my money, my talent, all of the way that I pour myself into this world, I'm going to start pushing some of that away until my family and my friends realize, my goodness, he's a stranger in this world. He's just passing through. This world is not his home. There's another place that he's... You say, well, that's going to make you look pretty strange. I know, but even if it kills me, I've got to make sure it's obvious I'm not living for this world. Even if it kills me, I'm dying for heaven. I'm dying for heaven. I'm talking about a practical application where each of us find a way to say, Jesus, I'm not going to be so consumed with me, myself, and mine that I'm not getting ready for heaven. and helping others to get ready for heaven. Would you come if you're willing to pray that prayer and just at this altar, raise your hands and say, Jesus, here I am. Here I am, Lord. I want to live like I'm living for another world. I want to live like I'm living for another place. I want to live like you have prepared for me a city. Oh, in the name of Jesus, please don't let sin keep you from the altar today. Don't let failures keep you from the altar today. Don't let distractions keep you from the altar today. Don't let busyness keep you from the altar today. Jesus, Jesus, this world is not my home. This world is not my home. Come on, this is beautiful. This is beautiful. I wonder if there are some children and young people that can say, God, I give my life to you. I wonder if there are some college-age students that can say, God, I give my life to you right now. I wonder if there are some that have your whole life before you, if you can say, I give my life to you right now. Oh! In the name of Jesus.